Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Laura. You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our amazing crew, Brock Vereen, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. We got a little sidetracked last hour talking with our friend of the show, Carrington Harrison, about Kanye West and some of our favorite Kanye West songs. And as a result, we're a little behind. We still have a lot to do. We got to talk some New York Yankees. We got to get into the Detroit Tigers, the Phillies, the Brewers as we approach the Major League Baseball trade deadline on Monday. We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes. And I will tell all of you two things. Numero uno, the NBA star that should be demanding a trade from his team. And the single most pathetic thing on a long, I'm talking CVS receipt level long, the single most pathetic thing on a CVS receipt level list of pathetic things about Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels football team. Number one on that list. That's coming up later this hour. Bets for tonight will close the show. But joining us right now to kick off the Power Hour on this terrific Football Tuesday, and it is terrific, 32 out of 32 teams reporting today to training camp. We are thrilled to have this guy on the show because he is kicking ass right now on our sports station in Los Angeles, The Fan in L.A., the brand new Odyssey sports station, been on the air for a couple months, been making news, friend of the show, Bill Ryder, making national news yesterday for his take on LeBron James leaving the Lakers. We are honored to bring on to the show Brock Vereen, who is the co-host of Brock and Alex, middays on The Fan in Los Angeles, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. Also, game analyst on the Big Ten Network, former NFL defensive back, on Twitter at his name, Brock Vereen. Brock, Nick Costos here. You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. And what would a Monday be without Bill Ryder making news talking about LeBron James, who he claims to love, although there is absolutely no evidence of that?
Well, I would say there's, and I'm friends with Bill, so I feel like Bill does not like LeBron, and LeBron also does not like Bill, which is totally fine. I think it's kind of cool to say, like, LeBron James doesn't like you. I wish LeBron James didn't like me. I think that would be a feather in my cap. Now, Brock, before we talk some sports, a little birdie told me, that birdie is mutual friend of ours, Andrew Williams, that you don't have your first sip of coffee every day until 1 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. How in the hell is that possible?
This thing has grown so much. So the brief story of it is I've been working at Big Ten Network for 5 years now. And in year three, so 2 years ago, I'm sitting there making coffee and a guy says, "Hey, how come you don't have coffee until the afternoon?" I said, "What?" He said, "You only have coffee in the afternoon." I said, "That's not true." And I had to sit there and think. And I called my wife and she made me realize, yeah, on work days, you don't drink coffee until 1 p.m. I don't know why it happened, but it stuck, and I'm not going to break something that's not – I'm not going to fix something that's not broken. So, yes, on the weekends, I'll have coffee with breakfast, but on work days, and when now that it's almost football season, the weekends do become work days, and the first cup of coffee is not until 1 p.m.
So, like, are you like, not tired in the morning? Like, do you have that extra pep in your step? Because I actually have it here. I generally only have one coffee during the day. I have – this is the cup for people that can see. This is a gigantic cup. This thing is filled with, this is filled with gasoline every morning, iced coffee. I drink it at 6 in the morning Eastern time. Are you got that natural pep in your step in the morning?
I do, and I don't want to act like I'm caffeine-free. I will sometimes have black tea. Typically, it's chamomile tea, which doesn't have caffeine, but sometimes it's black tea. But no, I just stick with coffee until the afternoon. I've realized the afternoon cup of coffee is my favorite cup of coffee, so I want to maximize that. And maybe the biggest issue is once I start drinking coffee, I can't stop. So maybe by pushing it back in the day, I naturally can limit overdosing on caffeine.
This is why I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Because if I have one, I want to put them on like a nice Italian roll and eat a cigarette sandwich. It's why I don't smoke anymore. All right, I guess we should probably talk some sports. So you guys are doing an awesome job, obviously, the Fan in Los Angeles, and a ton of excitement this year about both the LA teams. Obviously, as training camps beginning today in the National Football League, Rams began earlier this weekend because they play the Niners in Melbourne, Australia, before the first NFL Sunday. Let's start with the LA Rams, the favorites to win the NFC. The favorites to win the Super Bowl. Do you see it that way, Brock, or are you looking to poke some holes in this team ahead of the season starting?
Well, first off, the fact that the Rams, as the Super Bowl favorite, who play in a city that is hosting the Super Bowl, where they last won their Super Bowl on their home stadium. Yeah, let's go ship that key divisional matchup to the other side of the world. Love that, NFL. Great job there on the whole marketing standpoint. But as far as the Rams are considered, it has to be Super Bowl or bust. I mean, this is, on paper, the most talented team, has potential to be the most talented team I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think you have a reigning MVP in Matthew Stafford, who at 38 years old has never looked younger. You have to keep him upright. But you have the genius play caller in Sean McVay, who has taken the reins from Kyle Shanahan as far as who every other offense in the NFL wants to copy. You have Puka Nacua, who needs to get his act right off the field, but on the field, it is unmistakable that he's among the best. And you have Davante Adams, who's walking into the Hall of Fame in a couple of years from now. Defensively, of course, the addition of Myles Garrett is massive, potentially the addition of Aaron Donald. But what they did in the secondary is what actually excites me the most. Having the 6'2", long-arm, physical cornerback in Jalen Watson to handle those bigger receivers. And the versatile Trent McDuffie, who can play nickel, he can play outside corner, he can play inside corner. What Chris Shula, the defensive coordinator, is going to be able to do defensively, knowing that he's the master of confusing quarterbacks. Every single pre-snap look looks exactly the same. So he littered his defense with versatile DBs that if you're a quarterback, you don't know if Trent McDuffie's playing nickel or safety this play. You don't know if Quentin Lake's at corner or safety. And that's going to cause a quarterback to hesitate. And now you add Myles Garrett to the picture, so you don't even have to cover that long. I do think it's a Super Bowl or bust situation.
I don't think there's any question about it. Now, I am not a hater, but I think I'm going to come across as one here when I talk about the Los Angeles Rams, because I do want to – I'm acknowledging, right? Like, they're the favorite. Yeah. They're the best team on paper, right? Who could argue otherwise? If I were to poke some holes in this team right now, and I'm curious what your response is going to be to this, I would look at the offensive side of the ball, and I would say, and maybe your counter will be, well, they'll just play 3-2-3 tight ends on the field. Terrence Ferguson's the third receiver, basically. They have no speed on offense, like none. Like, Puka is great. Davante Adams is still great. None of them is, like, they don't have that burner on offense right now. Maybe they mitigate that, but just playing a million tight ends, I don't know. But I think that's a small issue for this team. And I also look at this offensive line. I don't think it's one of the best offensive lines in the league. I don't think they have a ton of depth on the offensive line. We'll see if Alaric Jackson gets out of legal trouble. I still have beef with the Ty Simpson pick, because why didn't you just pick Monroe Freeling or Mekhi Lemon there? Solve some of these problems here. So if I'm poking holes, I'm looking at line and I'm looking at lack of speed on offense. For if you like another team in the NFC, that's what I would hold on to. What is your response to those critiques by me of the LA Rams?
First off, they are completely fair critiques, although if you're going to call yourself a hater, I will happily latch on to that. So, Alaric Jackson is a massive issue, and he has to get his act together off the field. And even though he technically is not being charged on two of the three things, Goodell and the NFL can come down and suspend him at any moment. And quite honestly,
he's a multi-time offender. So, so they may be more willing to do that in this instance. Yeah,
exactly. And from the unfortunate and disgusting things that have been alleged so far, they would be within their right. How this season falls apart is Alaric Jackson is suspended. Matthew Stafford, his blind side is weak. And at 38 years old, I mean, he is perpetually one hit away from having to call it a career. He's taken so many blows in Detroit in his old age. and that's how this falls apart. In regards to the speed thing, the beauty of Sean McVay is when Devontae Adams got hurt last year, they pivoted to the 13 personnel, which you hinted at, right? One running back, three tight ends. And they beefed up that tight end room and clearly have faith in it because they did not draft a Mekhi Lemon. They did not draft a Brendan Thompson. They did not go get a speedy guy as the wide receiver three. And as of right now, since Tyreek Hill...
They took another tight end, right? They drafted another tight end in Max Clair.
They took historically slow tight end Max Clair from Ohio State. And I think what Sean McVay is doing is just trying to zig when everybody zags. And if you look at, we'll say, Bill Belichick when he was with New England, when people were pounding the rock, he spread it out with a bunch of 5'9" wide receivers. When people wanted to throw the ball, he brought everyone in, got Rob Gronkowski, and played a tight end game. I think Sean McVay is just trying to zig where they zag. The speed would be concerning, but in his style of offense, in the wide zone that they run, he's trying to attack vertically with power, and that is something that will cause issues against the San Franciscos, the Seattles, really just the NFC West that can play that physical style of football. But it leans itself very well outside of the division for teams that are built for speed, and you have the bruising style of play that the Rams play. So you are completely fair to be concerned, but I do feel that Sean McVay, up to this point, has earned the right to say, I've been two steps ahead of everyone for about 5 years now. Just trust me with this tight end thing.
We'll go to the LA team, the Chargers, and the AFC in a moment here, but just one last on the Rams and the NFC. If not the Rams in the NFC, Brock, who are you taking and why?
Seattle Seahawks, and it's the boring pick, but Seattle is kind of in this weird place, similar to the Knicks, where even though they just won it...
Oh, now I'm a Knicks fan here, so now my antenna's up. Let's hear what you got here on this.
So you're going to be able to relate to this. The Knicks were somehow the underdog, even though they were on track to having one of the most historic playoff runs in NBA history since the 01 Lakers. And even as the clock was winding down, it's as if people refused to admit that the Knicks were going to win the NBA championship. And the second that the new season starts, the Knicks are an afterthought. That's kind of what the Seahawks are going through, because people don't believe that Sam Darnold could be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. People don't want to believe that he actually has turned a new leaf. And yes, they lost Kenneth Walker III. Nick Emenwori and that defense that Mike McDonald has created is spectacular. If you want to go down a rabbit hole of freaks of nature, watch Nick Emenwori, who just wrapped up his rookie season and was a key component. And I would argue every single defense right now, the same way that offenses are trying to copy what Sean McVay is doing offensively, defenses are trying to copy what Mike McDonald is doing defensively with Seattle. The problem is they don't have Nick Emenwori on their team. The guy can play every position. And I'm a firm believer that the champ is the champ until you knock them out coming out of the NFC. You didn't ask, but coming out of the AFC, I'm really high on the Houston Texans, and I expect a Houston Texans versus...
Yeah, I might pick them also.
Yeah, you would be absolutely right. I as we sit here right now, I'm expecting the Houston Texans to come to L.A. and match up with the Rams in the Super Bowl here in a couple months.
I love the Texans this season.
They're terrifying.
You know, let's go to You Better You Bet on this Tuesday. Brock Vereen from the Fan in LA here with us on You Better You Bet, Westwood One Sports. Let's talk about the Texans for a second now. I literally did like, I don't know, like 8 to 11, whatever it was, or on the first hour of the show on Houston. I'm higher on Houston than a lot of people. I'm guessing you'll agree with this. I don't think the defense is going to take a step back this year. I think they're still, the players are too good, I think, for that to happen. It's just, can you get average to like slightly above average quarterback play from CJ Stroud? Can the offensive line not, can it be slightly below average instead of absolutely terrible? And I think at minimum they're playing on Championship Sunday. What do you think about CJ? We love this defense. What about the offense?
Yes. What happened last year mentally with CJ Stroud, only he can answer, but anybody can watch him on those really from week 11 onward and say, something is wrong between the ears here. And the fact that D'Amico Ryans had to punt the ball, I believe there were like 3.5 minutes left in that game in their when they got bounced.
Oh, the surrender punt against the Patriots. Yes. Yeah, just like you gave up.
The fact that they had to punt the ball because they thought it is more likely for our defense to get a pick six or a fumble recovery than for CJ Stroud to do anything. That has to be rock bottom. If you are CJ Stroud, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying that is the most embarrassing moment you have ever had, probably in your entire football career, going back to Pop Warner. And that is going to kick you in the butt to just not be terrible. Like you just said, CJ Stroud doesn't have to be incredible. He doesn't even have to be good. He just has to not be bad. And this team walks to the Super Bowl last year. I'm going to assume he is much better. They kind of retooled their offense a little bit. They have a new offensive line. They bring in David Montgomery. They're going to remove the ball from CJ Stroud's hands. They're not going to rely on him. They're going to rely on a ground and pound game. But when asked and called upon, CJ Stroud will be better, because there's no way you can hit rock bottom and not hit this season on the right foot.
I just want to go back and just say I am kind of, sometimes people will come on the show and say things and it makes me mad because it's so good that I wish I had come up with it first and I didn't. The Knicks Seahawks comparison was, we're talking about, it was inspired. And also you got to have like the Sixers with LeBron, they're kind of playing the role of the Rams now also, which is, that was, I just want to say that was exceptional. Right. It was really good. Well, let's talk about the Chargers for a second. A couple things on LA. A lot of people think, and I'm not disagreeing with it, right? I kind of think this is going to happen also, that Mike McDaniel is going to turn this offense into something supercharged, right? And I think the upgrade from Greg Roman to Mike McDaniel is going to be significant on offense for the Chargers. With Slater back and Ault back, the two tackles, do you see it that way for the Chargers offense this year, and why?
So Mike McDaniel is the genius regarding the run game. Forget everything that happened in Miami regarding the run game, but he reinvents ways to run the same run plays that you've seen been run your entire life. They are going to be a downhill football team. They are going to be physical as hell, and you will see gashes of 30 yards, 40 yards. They brought in Keaton Mitchell, who's kind of going to be their speedster. This run game is going to be phenomenal. The problem that the Chargers are going to run into is when it's 3rd and 8, I don't understand how they're going to convert. You look at how Mike McDonald orchestrates his pass game. Yes, a lot of it was because Tua doesn't have a strong arm, but it's about getting the ball to his guys quickly and essentially turning everything into a punt return, right? Dump the ball to Jaylen Waddle, dump the ball to Tyreek Hill, and let them make a bunch of guys miss. It's not really downfield, and the Chargers do not have guys capable of doing that. Brennan Thompson is speedy, but he's a rookie. You're not going to build your offense around a rookie. Ladd McConkey is precise. He's crisp. He's not the level of speedster that Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill are. Then you look at Justin Herbert, a massive mountain of a man that can throw the ball 80 yards. They're retooling his footwork. They're making his drop back different. They're really messing with him. And I just don't understand how what Herbert does and what Mike McDaniel wants to do in the pass game, it's water and oil, and something's got to give. So Mike McDaniel is big on 2.4s, meaning if a quarterback gets rid of the ball in 2.4 seconds, it doesn't matter how good the offensive line is. You think of Tom Brady in his best years, Drew Brees, they get rid of the ball quickly. That's not what Herbert does. So if you're trying to convince me that in one singular offseason, Justin Herbert is just going to become not even a different quarterback, but just a completely different player. Like he's been playing this way his entire life, and you're going to retool this. I have really strict doubts on how successful they're going to be in the air. Maybe they're able to get themselves in situations where they don't have to throw the ball deep a ton. I just don't understand how they're going to do it. And there is a lot of pressure on Herbert to figure it out, and there's a lot of pressure on Harbaugh to figure it out. I don't think anyone's job is on the line, but the problem with the AFC West last year is Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. The AFC West is wide open for the first time since Mahomes took over as a starting quarterback, and you let the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix come in here and state their claim. That's embarrassing. And the Chargers not only need to take care of the AFC West, they have to win a playoff game this year. Something's got to change.
And I was gonna, for as bad as CJ Stroud was in the divisional round at Foxborough, Justin Herbert was just as bad in the wild card round Sunday night in Foxborough for the try. And he's played his two worst games, I think, of his career in the postseason, 2 years ago against Houston, and then this past January against the New England Patriots. Maybe this is the final, I'm not sure yet, but I have one more question on the Chargers. So we collectively in the media, right, spend a lot of time talking about offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel. We all know who he is. Offense is sexy, fantasy football, all that jazz. We're going to have to start, this is not just a youth, it's like a me thing, right, on this show. Have to start talking about, because I talked about the Ravens earlier in the show, right, Brock, and I love Baltimore this year. I think Jesse Minter is going to turn this defense into something really special. Yep. He was the Chargers' defensive coordinator the last couple seasons, so now he's the head coach in Baltimore. Someone, and this is not the former Georgia Tech coach, Chris O'Leary is now the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. Now, is it possible Chris O'Leary is the next Bill Belichick? Of course it's possible. We have no idea how this is going to go with O'Leary replacing Jesse Minter. What about Chris O'Leary? Because everyone's talking about McDaniel. What about the new defensive coordinator, Chris O'Leary, for the Chargers?
It has to be a home run. You're sitting there thinking, why the hell is Jim Harbaugh throwing this pitch when he could land any available defensive coordinator? He could probably go poach a different defensive coordinator and just pay him more. Why the hell is Chris O'Leary? And the honest question is, we don't know until we see it. I will say, as far as personnel-wise, the Chargers always have stars, so they always rank in the top five of defense. Well, not always, but under Jesse Minter, they did. I see a situation where they're on the field less this year because Mike McDaniel's run game is going to be so dominant. They're going to control the clock more instead of trying to outscore teams, which is where they got in trouble. Khalil Mack is old and is not the threat that he once was. Tuli Polotu is a future star, and that is now the key guy that you have to worry about on the defensive front. You have an undersized linebacker room who have ton of heart, ton of grit, but they're just not going to be premier linebackers. They're Deion Henley, I believe, is 6 foot. Denzel Perryman is 5'11", and they can make plays, but they do get taken advantage of a little bit, especially toward the end of the year. You have Derwin James, who they made the highest paid safety for the second time in his career. And Derwin James is, if we're going with basketball references, he's kind of like a Paul George. He is so respected. Any college player right now puts on Derwin James tape and studies him. They borderline worship him and his ability. He's kind of the face of being able to play free safety, strong safety, box safety, and nickel. But what on his resume explains how good he is, right? Similar to Paul George. Anyone who plays in the NBA that talks about Paul George puts him up there with the best and fundamentally and from a technique standpoint among the best. But if you were to explain that to a casual basketball fan, they're looking at his resume saying, how is this guy this good, right? So the Chargers are a defense that are loaded with talents but have not had a ton to show for it lately. And to answer your question, Chris O'Leary has a lot to prove in regards of what can you accomplish that Jesse Minter didn't, because it's almost like a Ty Simpson situation. We're scratching our heads saying, I trust that you did your research, but until I see it, I'm going to have my doubts.
Final question, about a minute for the answer. The 26-27 Los Angeles Lakers are the blank best team in the Western Conference.
Third best team in the Western Conference. Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
Oklahoma City and San Antonio, man,
are in their own category. The Lakers are in that second tier where it's them, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Rockets. And I am not a believer.
Seven-game series, Wolves-Lakers. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Lakers. The Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be exciting. That thing is going to implode in ways that you cannot even fathom. It will be hilarious, but that team will fall apart, I promise you.
I don't know if I agree with that. So why do you like them so? Because I think they'll be I'm not saying they'll miss the playoffs. Just like a Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler team, and this is assuming everybody's healthy.
True.
They're not even sniffing a championship, and they're locked into this now for years.
They're not winning a championship this year, but what they have for the first time since 2018 is a direction. When they brought in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, since then, from that year up until this last season, they never had structure. J.J. Redick was not able to run his offense. For the first time, you have Luka Doncic and a clear path of what everyone's role is. When LeBron was on the court and trying to run the show as a partial GM, it was what he wanted. Now you finally get to build a structure. It's still around a player, Luka Doncic, but you get to build a structure and a strategy and find players to fit that instead of trying to appease LeBron James.
I don't know if behind door number one is LeBron and Anthony Davis, like 8 years ago, or here's door number two with Luka, Austin Reeves, Walker Kessler, and the Snowtime Lakers. I'll go door number one. That's just me. Brock,
you take
you're
door
stud,
number
dude.
One. I will check in with you in early next year when the Lakers are the third best team in the West and they get bounced out in the second round. And we'll be happy about it. We're going to love every second of it.
Yeah, but it's going to get wiped off the face of the earth by the Spurs or the Thunder or perhaps the Denver Nuggets or perhaps the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dude, you're awesome. I really enjoyed this. Brock and Alex, middays, 10 a.m. Well, don't say that because we'll call you next week. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time. The Fan in Los Angeles. Big Ten Network. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brock Vereen joining us here on the show. He's stud, man. The station's cooking. Our friend Andrew Williams doing a great job with the Fan in Los Angeles. Brock and Alex. Alex Curry, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time, middays on the Fan in Los Angeles. Well, another interview that went over time. Seems to be my favorite thing. I'm self-diagnosing. We'll take a break. Coming up next, more Major League Baseball as we head to the deadline. What I think the Phillies need to do, what the Brewers need to do, and why the Dodgers are watching Detroit, Michigan very intently. We'll do some NBA and a little Bill Belichick as well in the final 35 minutes here on a Tuesday on Westwood One Sports.
Less than 1 week until the MLB trade deadline. Buyers, sellers, contenders, pretenders. Who could be on the move? The lines are about to be drawn. Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Indeed presents hires you can't afford to get wrong, like head administrator for a state-of-the-art surgical center.
What can I do for you, Doc?
We need to talk about the lights.
Ah, the mood lighting, relaxing, right? Much better than those old hospital vibes.
A hospital's supposed to have hospital vibes.
You seem tense. Let's dim the lights a bit.
This is a job for sponsored jobs.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today. Empower.
Pete's back on the links with all new golf clubs and hopefully less swearing.
Bang! Sliced it.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money so he can be a little bad.
Heads up!
Oof. Talent sold separately.
Guy said these were slice proof.
At least he has money for lessons. Invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Good song. I'm married. I can't relate to what Jay-Z sang. Our bets for tonight will close the show. Looking forward to that, coming up about 20 minutes from now. But a bunch to do until then. Major League Baseball trade deadline, 6 days away. And you know, the Los Angeles Dodgers and other teams were watching last night's Detroit Tigers game as the Tigers lost yet again. Now losers of 3 in a row, losing 8-5 to the Baltimore Orioles, now 7 games under .500 with the trade deadline 6 days away. Now, is it possible that the Tigers have a couple games left against the Orioles and then a 3-game set against the Athletics? Is it possible that they rattle off 5 wins in a row? Sure. Doesn't feel likely, though. And even if they do, are the Tigers really going to delude themselves into believing that they are true, legitimate contenders in the American League? So if the Tigers continue, and remember, this isn't me giving you this opinion. Not that I'm not credible to do that. But look, we had Jim Bowden on the show last week. SiriusXM MLB Network Radio, CBS Sports HQ, The Athletic, former MLB Executive of the Year in 1999 when he ran the Cincinnati Reds. He said last week on the show that the Tigers are going to see how this goes over the next week and a half, and if they feel like they could possibly be in contention, that they're going to keep Tarik Skubal. That's not what's happening. If I had to guess right now, and who knows, right? Because the Tigers don't seem to be an incredibly well-run organization, so who knows? My guess is they're going to deal him. I would if I were them. You can't risk losing him, and you will get an absolute haul if you deal him. You know the Dodgers are watching with their insane farm system. The Dodgers could trade for Skubal. They could extend him. They could give him that contract. They have that kind of money. So if that happens, and I would say that if I were setting a betting market, that would be the favorite for me, is the Dodgers acquire Tarik Skubal. It obviously makes them an even bigger favorite to go back to the World Series for the third straight year and try to win three straight for the first time since my Yankees did it in 98, 99, and 2000. Does that mean, if they get Skubal, that the rest of the National League should just pack it in and say, you know what, we're good. Dodgers got it this year. We'll live to fight another day. Of course not. Let's talk about two teams in the National League. The first will be the Milwaukee Brewers, fronted by absolute all-world megastar young pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, who is just 24 years old and just anecdotal, right? This weekend, I fly to Florida with my wife and my daughter for a family baptism. And I'm with a couple guys that are the family, friends of the whatever, big sports fans. Big sports fans, right? They're talking to me about Jacob Mizorowski. They love baseball. Jacob Mizorowski is not a crossover athlete yet in the sense that you'd hear a non-big baseball fan talk about him. But if you're a baseball fan, this guy is front and center in front of mind. Huge favorite to win NL Cy Young, minus 275 at BetMGM. Struck out 11 of the first 12 batters in his last start over the weekend. Struck out the first seven batters of the game. Became the first pitcher since 1920 to strike out 11 batters or more in for the first four innings of a game with zero hits allowed. He's historic. He's unbelievable. Now, the Brewers have been clutch hitting all season. The Brewers have a great manager in Pat Murphy. They've got Mizorowski, obviously. The Brewers are a really good team. They need some bop. They need another bat. And if I'm Milwaukee right now, and you're any team, this goes for the AL also, and you fancy yourself a World Series contender. If you feel like the Dodgers can really get Tarik Skubal, you got to do something. You have to do something. I want to see Milwaukee go out and get a bat. Need some power heading into the postseason. The other team would be the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies, I think, absolutely have everything needed to topple the Dodgers and maybe even win the World Series this year. I've talked a lot about how I like the decision to move on for Rob Thompson, try something new. Of course, they tug at my heartstrings by making former Yankee Don Mattingly's the manager now. So I have a soft spot for the Phillies. The Phillies, you know, frontline three pitchers, right? With Sanchez and Wheeler and Luzardo, they've been unbelievable this year, right? And obviously, they've got studs in the lineup as well. They've got to do something, though. Like, you can't go to war against the Dodgers, especially if they get Skubal with this. I want to see the Phillies get aggressive. I want to see the Brewers get aggressive in the National League. And just to go back to the AL and my Yankees. So Cody Bellinger over the weekend, and to be fair, the Yankees did take 2-3 against the Phillies this weekend. You got a Cam Schlittler masterclass on Friday night. He was tremendous, beat the Phillies 1-0. Max Fried's back. He doesn't look great, but it's nice to have him back in the lineup. They win last night. Cody Bellinger, left hamstring strain, out 4 to 6 weeks. It's not what you want. But look, Bellinger, all-star game MVP. You can't mess around with the hammy, because if you re-aggravate it, like, you're done for the season. And they need him for October, right? So he's out 4 to 6 weeks. We still don't know when Judge is coming back. Stanton's been out. What a surprise that he's been out injured for a long time. When's he coming back? The Yankees cannot afford to stand pat. I don't think they're going to. We've heard Mason Miller rumored, right? The great Padres closer, the best reliever in baseball. Do the Yankees make a play for him to pair with Bednar? And Miller would obviously be the main closer, but Bednar would be like your eighth inning guy. How good is that? I certainly like that. I don't know if you're Brian Cashman and you're Aaron Boone and you're the Yankees, if you can just count on it, count on everyone's back and everybody's healthy. Now, I don't think the Yankees are winning the World Series no matter what. I'm on record saying that for years, as long as Cashman and Boone are in charge. But, like, if you were going to construct a scenario, like, here's how it happens. You need all three of those guys healthy, right? You need Bellinger healthy, you need Stanton healthy, and of course you need the best player in the American League. You need Aaron Judge healthy also. Is that going to happen? I don't know if you can bank on it. You can bank on that happening. Ergo, you have to bring in a bat. Yankees, Phillies, Brewers absolutely have got to be aggressive over the course of the next 6 days because, again, it's my expectation that the rich will get richer. And I believe that when it's all said and done, things can change. But my belief right now is that the Los Angeles Dodgers will emerge as the winners of the Tarek Skubal sweepstakes. You better you bet on this Tuesday. Nick Costos and you, Westwood One Sports. A couple other takes for you before we give you our bets and bid you adieu on this Tuesday. Numero uno. There is an NBA superstar that needs to demand a trade. I don't think it will happen. We had Zach Harper from The Athletic and NBA Radio on the show yesterday, and he doesn't think it'll happen either. And if you ask NBA fans, members of the NBA media, and this is not me making the case that they're wrong, I think they're right, that this won't happen. What I'm saying is, I believe it should. Steph Curry needs to demand a trade from the Golden State Warriors. He should ask out yesterday from Golden State. Now, I don't think he will. I do think whether it means something to me or not is immaterial. He's his own man. He's his own person. He can do what he wants, right? All accounts say that Steph Curry wants to play his entire career with one team. Start and finish his career with the Golden State Warriors. And I guess there's like something admirable about that. I don't think there is. And you can say, well, you're not loyal. Okay, like, here's my question for you then, moron. I love you. Thank you for listening and watching. Do you think the Golden State Warriors have done enough for Steph Curry here in the twilight of his career? And really, and I understand they won a title in 22 because of him. Have they done enough since they lost to the Raptors in the 19 NBA Finals? Have they? And be honest, have they? They've been doing this, like, Marvel Universe, like, two-timeline sort of deal. Like, there's today, and then there's, like, the multiverse. Like, with Kang, and Doctor Doom, and Jonathan Kuminga, and James Wiseman. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. This offseason, by all reports, I'm not involved in these conversations. I just go by what I think. Bill Simmons on The Ringer is really plugged in. He talked about it over the weekend. That the Warriors didn't make a good enough offer for Jaylen Brown. And think about it, right? They wanted LeBron. What pushed LeBron to go to Philadelphia was the thing that got him over the line there. Jaylen Brown. What happens if the Warriors trade for Jaylen Brown? Does LeBron go there? Probably yes, right? What's the percent chance the Golden State Warriors win the NBA title this season? And if you took that percent chance and multiplied it by a million, what would it be? The answer, zero. Zero. What's the chance they win it next year? Take the chance. Multiply it by a million. Shine it up real nice. Turn that son of a bitch sideways and stick it straight up you know where. Zero. Zero. Why should 38-year-old Steph Curry languish the rest of his career? Languish as the 9 seed in the West, or maybe they're the 6 seed and get bounced in the first round. Why should that be what happened? Loyalty? Why? Just because he's been there his whole career? Really? You think this is not Milwaukee? Giannis won one title in Milwaukee. You think the Bay Area will ever dislike Steph Curry? MVPs, 4 championships? Stop. Come on. He resuscitated that. That franchise was not dead, but it was on life support before Curry brought them out of it, out of the abyss. Why should he finish his career in Golden State? Other than loyalty. Why should he? Now, I'm not him. He can do what he wants. He's earned that right. He's his own man. He's an all-time great. He's an absolute living legend. If it were me, and you can criticize me for this, and I don't care. If it were me, I'd want to win one more championship. That's just me. He can do whatever he wants. So too can our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who joins now with the trivia question of the day. Hello, Bill. How are you?
I am good, Nick. How are you?
I'm pretty awesome. Thank you.
I would hope so. Been an awesome show. All right, let's dive into the trivia here. Carrington Harrison got me thinking about this one when he brought up the statistic earlier in the show that the Kansas City Chiefs have not had a 1,000 rusher since 2017, going on almost a decade. So I had to go back and look at that a little bit. So, Nick, the question to you, Kansas City Chiefs have had six different 1,000-yard rushers since 1990. I want you to name them all.
Okay. Well, so what was the question going to be before that? Just out of curiosity. Topic.
We were working on a New England Patriots theme, and I jumped off of it to move over to this.
Okay, this is a good question. Okay, ready?
Yeah, some of these you'll get easily.
The Nigerian Nightmare.
Christian Okoye did it twice. Yep.
Barry, oh my word.
That was the one I thought might trick you up. Barry Word did it once in 1990.
Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes did it three times.
Larry Johnson.
Twice.
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt did it once.
And Ray's nephew, Jamal.
Jamal Charles five times. That is the list.
So Barry Word is the one you didn't think I would get.
I thought you might get tripped up on Barry Word a little bit.
Well, to be fair, I did forget Chris Warren last week, so I can't call you ye of little faith. So, yeah. Barry Word somehow.
You destroyed that question. Well done.
Yeah, listen, to be fair, Charles, Larry Johnson, and Priest Holmes were all like fantasy football monsters, like unlikely to be forgotten by people. And then it's just, we knew Kareem Hunt because Carrington had mentioned him, and then it's just, do you remember the 1-2 punch from the 90s?
Fair.
Here's a trivia question for you. You're going to get this right. You're the only person on the crew that will get this question right. But I would be shocked if you got this wrong.
All right, let's see.
Famous, you may be able to answer the question before I'm done with it. Famous Monday night football game in the late, maybe 1989. Christian Okoye. It's a famous play. Christian Okoye. Steve Atwater of the Denver Broncos. I knew you'd get it right before I even asked the question. So Steve Atwater absolutely blew up Christian Okoye and like knocked him backwards in a famous Monday night play when Okoye was at like the height of his powers. Second trivia question for you. You probably won't get this one. That same season, I think it was Greg Bell, maybe. Was he on the Rams? I don't know who the Broncos running back was. Steve Sewell, maybe? I'm going to give away the team. The Giants had a goal line stand in Denver in 1989. On a fourth down play, a Giant defender stuffed the Broncos running back, and they lost a couple yards on a famous fourth and one. Famous play for the Giants, at least. Name the Giants defensive player.
I don't remember this play. I'll go with Jim Burt.
The answer is Gary Reasons. So another white Giants defensive player. We'll take a break on the other side. Our bets will wrap it up here on Tuesday on Westwood One Sports.
The NBA has reshaped in one summer. LeBron and Jaylen Brown are in Philly. Giannis is headed to Miami. Paul George is a Celtic. And that's just the Eastern Conference. Who will challenge the Knicks for the NBA crown? Westwood One Sports.
If you're 75 or older, ask yourself this. Do you still need your life insurance policy? Or does selling your life insurance for a large, immediate cash payout make more sense? With Benefit Advance, you can sell all or part of your life insurance for a lot of money. Call 888-200-7156. That's 888-200-7156.
Benefit Advance is not a licensed broker or purchaser of life insurance policies and refers policy owners to licensed purchasers. Currently affiliated with Life Insurance Settlements, Inc.
When you first saw her, she was out walking her dog. You didn't notice her at first. But when you finally did, it was too late. Because at that moment, you were speeding. She was out walking her dog and only had a second to let go of the leash. Your foot was on the gas and her life was on the line. Speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50.
Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Today, BetMGM players will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. To use the Parlay Boost token, add a parlay wager to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win the wager made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings. Download the BetMGM app today and please gamble responsibly. Thanks to our guests, Brock Vereen, and who was the first guest? Carrington Harrison. Thanks to our crew. Appreciate everybody. We are back tomorrow on a wonderful sports Wednesday. We do have a piece of breaking news to discuss, and then I'm just going to tell everybody I'm betting the Orioles again today. I'm back on like the baseball betting train now that we're approaching the deadline and the end of the season. I'm just going to fade the Detroit Tigers, who are favorites today, and I understand they have the pitching advantage here, Melton against Kramer. I will bet the Orioles today on the road in Detroit. I think the Tigers will lose again, my one bet for tonight. The piece of breaking news that we have in the National Football League, and this is courtesy, I'm just going to pull it up here, make sure I have this right, per Greg Aumann, who covers the NFL for Fox Sports and like has been in the Tampa area for a long time. He says that Baker Mayfield, who is on the final year of a 3-year, $100 million deal, that Baker Mayfield will play this season on his current expiring contract. Jeremy Fowler reported earlier this morning of ESPN that Mayfield and the Bucs have not made significant progress on a new contract. So for Tampa now, you have kind of a lame duck-ish coach in Todd Bowles, where I think we can all agree if it doesn't go well this year for Tampa, Bowles is out. I think we can all say that, right? Whether you agree or disagree with it, that's going to be what happens. And now you have a lame duck quarterback, and that doesn't mean Baker's going to be bad. I'm just saying, though, right? You also have Vita Vea, like longtime stalwart, absolute monster defensive tackle, demanding a trade out of Tampa. No more guaranteed money for him. He's 31 years old. So a couple things happening all in concert here in Tampa. Now, if you just take the talent on the field, I think it's probable that the Bucs are the best team in the division, just based on talent 1 through 53. But there's a lot going on here. And I don't know if a lot of it's positive. Now, you could spin this and say Baker's going to have the best year of his career. He's motivated. He wants that big payday. Maybe. I'm more willing to say the wheels come off. Todd Bowles gets fired. Bucks are looking for a new quarterback. And we have either the Falcons, Saints, or Panthers as NFC South champions this season. That does it for the show. I'll see you all tomorrow on a Wednesday. Until then, Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next on Westwood One Sports.
This is Westwood One Sports.
In 200 feet, turn right. Then apply to refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal Credit Union.
Huh?
Navy Federal offers low rates that can help you save every month on your auto loan.
Wow, I can get all that with Navy Federal?
You sure can, good buddy.
Refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal to get on the road to better rates. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/auto refinance. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Credit and collateral subject to approval.
Doug. Limu and I created a trick to help you remember that you can customize your car insurance and save with Liberty Mutual. You see, the shirts Limu and I wear are yellow, and yellow is the color of lemons. And lemons grow on trees, and trees provide oxygen, and oxygen helps us breathe, and breathing is how you live, and you can live more life when you save money by customizing your car insurance. I agree, Limu.
It's really quite simple.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York. And on-